Is God at work today among the American Indians? Well, here's a comment from the website chief.org. Quote, the greatest need among our native tribes and nations today is native Christian leadership. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Chief Huron, and he is the chief, as in chief.org. What a cool website. Chief, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you.
Yes, yes, it's good to be here, Jerry. And I am the president and CEO of Chief Incorporated. It's an acronym, which is Christian Hope Indian Eskimo Fellowship. And we work with Native peoples from Alaska right down to South America. It's great to be with you in your broadcast today.
Well, thank you. And where are you based out of?
Phoenix, Arizona. Right now we're experiencing sunshine this winter day, I would say. So we're based in Phoenix, but we work with the 576 different tribes just in the United States alone.
576 tribes in the United States. Give us a picture in terms of, let's say we were to look at a pie chart, and the 100% of the pie chart would be all the Native Americans.
Right.
You know, okay, that's 100%. What percentage roughly would be Christians, believers in Jesus? Well,
that's a very good question. It was just this past year we celebrated the 400-year celebration of the very first Thanksgiving of as far as the pilgrims meeting with our First Nations Native people. And, at that time, even when Christopher Columbus, quote, discovered America, the Native peoples, of course, owned 100% of the property of our country. And but today it is around about, I would say, around 2%, 2 to 3% of the country. Over that 400 years of relationship, when they first met, it was very honorable. And I was just talking about that earlier this morning, that a treaty was made that went on for over 50 years.
You're talking about the pilgrims.
Really, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. In Plymouth area is where I'm speaking about.
Right.
But even now, my point is here that in the beginning of the 19th century, we had less than 250,000 Native people that were living in our country. And so today, now, to give you kind of a picture of today where we're at, the census just came out that there are 9.7 million Native peoples living in the United States, in our country. And like I said, that's 576 different nations. Wow. A lot of times I say that is as different in their culture, language, as German would be from Chinese. So, but to answer your question, after 400 years of that relationship, less than 5% of our Native people, that 9.7, proclaimed to be followers of Jesus Christ.
Oh, wow. So nearly 10 million Americans are Indians. And of those, only about 5% would be Christians. What would be the religion, the other religion that they would be following? Or would maybe some of the 95% be professing Christians, or some of them at least, but not really following the Lord?
Right. Well, I would say predominantly, again, our Native people traditionally have been taught, to worship the creation, animist, pantheistic belief. We come from an oral culture. And so even though those have been taught our ways, but then also what I would say is that a lot of them living today, now that's another statistic, is that we have over 73% of our Native population now live in the cities and not on the reservations. Typically, you would think of Native people living on the reservations. but that's not the case. So I would say there's many of them, you know, that are just like we are today, that have no faith in you know, their backgrounds.
So, okay, so help me to understand this. About 77% maybe then of the population or whatever. It's only a small percentage of the total that even live on the reservations. But that's as far as the, you know, Christianity, how do you get that statistic, that 5% statistic? And by the way, would you define those people who are professing Christians as active Christian or Christians in name only?
Okay. Yes.
Active.
Yes, that's where I would say they are active Christians, you know, participating in a church, working within their community, theologically, I would say, you know, again, to the orthodox of Christianity. But even still, we've got a tremendous, I would say, our native people is a tremendous mission field we don't realize that we have right in our own backyard.
Yeah, especially when you're talking, you are basically saying you're talking about 10 million people. And it's a very important group of people because, as my friend Billy Falling, who's a you know, an Indian who became born again and, you know, is a minister and author of a book and so forth.
Right.
And anyway, he said that, man, we should be viewed as, you know, with great honor because God chose us to, you know, basically preserve the land and then participate in the, you know, what became the greatest nation on earth, you know.
So
it's a very interesting thing. Now, how did you personally become a Christian? And tell us about your own personal work in terms of the gospel.
Well, that's quite a story. I come from two tribes. My mother is a Kiowa. Like you think of the state of Iowa, you'd put a K before that, Kiowa. And they typically lived up in the state of Montana. But again, the history plays such an important part of that low number, is what I would say, and how the gospel came to us and through the church and all of that. But eventually, when Andrew Jackson was president, he tried to relocate or allocate or move Native peoples from their original place basically to the Dust Bowl in Oklahoma. And that's why even to this day there are 39 tribes in the state of Oklahoma. That was a result of his work in that way. But my mother is Kiowa, so the Kiowas now reside in the southwestern part of Oklahoma. My dad is a Mohawk Indian. My mother is the Plains Indian. You think of the typical Native American living in the teepees and with the feathers and the moccasins and the white buckskins. That would be the Plains Indians. So that is really a representative of my mother's side. My dad is a Mohawk, and he is basically a Woodlands Indian. And they have lived with the Iroquois you hear about, where five nations came together and eventually six. And they functioned as a council. And history teaches us that Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson had witnessed that, saw how they function. And even today, we see elements of our Congress patterned after the way the Mohawks function. So, yes, our Native American people contributed, you know, in specific ways, the way our country has been established. But again, back to your question, my example as a Christian, the history of my Christianity goes back five generations.
Oh, wow.
On my dad's side. And, in fact, a lot of times I speak about this. I say you can Google it to this day. You can look up on Google the Mohawk Chapel, and you'll see in the 1750s that, the Queen of England built the very first church for the Mohawks or for the Canadian Native peoples, First Nations peoples. And that was the Mohawk Chapel. And it was there that my great-great-great-grandfather was one of the first Mohawk chiefs to embrace Christianity.
Wow.
And so there's tremendous history. where I can actually look at like David Brainerd in the 1700s, 1750s, where he went to the native tribes in the eastern part of our country. And one of the tribes that he went to visit, God called him to, was our people, the Mohawks. And in his diary, I read where he was praying even before he came to our people that we might understand the glory of God. Mm. So to me, it is very moving to see, after all these years now, here he had prayed for our people. And I think once we get into heaven, I would like to meet and say, you know what, your prayer has been answered through five generations. And not only that, but we're reaching now literally tens of thousands of native peoples from Alaska right down to South America.
Wow. This Mohawk chapel, was that based in Canada initially?
That's correct.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And it's my understanding the first Bible that was published in America, the first Bible was actually the Algonquin translation by one of the Puritans. John Elliott. Tell us about that.
Well, again, it's amazing to hear the stories. Like I said, I was this past fall, I was at Plymouth Rock and again, where the Pilgrims had first met, and so often, I mean, there's stereotypes, and that's even a word for today. I think there's so much racial division that's taking place, and there is so many stereotypes that we draw from each other. And we need to really begin to just understand each other, on a friendship basis. But when I think of Plymouth Rock and the Pilgrims that first came to our nation, they had met with the Wampanoags. And there, again, it was amazing as I spoke with some of the historians, top historians within our country, of how God revealed himself, to our native people. When the Pilgrims first came, there were estimated about 102 individuals, moms, dads, children that came across the ocean. And within that first year period of time in our country, they had lost there was about 52 survivors.
Right.
And so, they were in that year's time met with the Wapano Indians, and it was the Wapanos that had helped them in their lifestyle and planting, those kind of things. So it was based on relations. But as I was out there, I was amazed because there were other individuals that had visited the native people, had learned their language. There was a story, and it was an incredible story, where there was a rock where they would sacrifice. They would do their ceremonies. And the pilgrims, and it was a human sacrifice, actually, that took place.
Wow.
But the pilgrim brother, he was so appalled by that and trying to help them stop that ceremony. And from a humanitarian standpoint, I would say he was asking them to stop.
Right. And by the way, we have about 30 seconds left. Go on.
Okay. But what he did, appealing to God to help stop this. And what happened is God sent a lightning bolt and actually struck that rock. And that demonstrations of God's power led a revival with that tribe, and not only that tribe, but then you started to see God move in the eastern part of our United States. Incredible story.
Yes. Well, Chief Huron, we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll have to talk with you again sometime. God bless
Thank
you. And I want to give you a website again. It's chief.org. Chief.org. All the best. Thank you now.
Thank you.